One, two, three.
Hey, everybody.
This is Y'all Heard, a podcast where me, Marissa Phillips,
and me, Pete Phillips,
are not related.
And this is a podcast where we sometimes break the regular format of bringing you things you didn't know you needed to know so that we can bring you updates you didn't know you needed updating on. This is an episode of Y'all Heard about updates.
Okay, now it sounds redundant for me to say, so you think you didn't know you needed to know.
What's up, Marissa? We're recording this one early, so Marissa may have some out-of-time topics. Well, I might, too, because I don't...
Oh, yeah. Well, we're recording this on Mother's Day, and I was telling you before I recorded that I cut myself off, because I'm curious if you've heard this. That sometimes you don't know a thing is an issue until you hear someone complain about it, and I saw all these mothers being like, tomorrow's for me. If you have a dog or a plant, it's not for you. And I was like, who is saying it's for them? But I was like, and she's like, then someone did a whole subsect like, I don't fucking care if you're a plant mom. If something didn't come out of your womb. And I'm just like, nobody really. Do you think people really?
Dog, I could see.
Yeah.
But it feels like that's the same as saying, no, pride is only for gay people. You trans people can have another day. You bi people should take another day.
yeah, I don't.
It's kind of like, it's not, because I always feel bad at Mother's Day for, you know, like a person who can't conceive, you know, a person who just didn't get to, and they're more like an aunt than a mother, but they are a motherly aunt. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's a weird holiday.
I mean, I have no skin in the game. I don't.
Yeah.
Honestly, if someone who has plans wants to call themselves a mother and celebrate it, I actually don't care. I just, like, is anyone actually doing that? But whatever. Anyway, but I'm okay. I was, we'll see if I can make a whole episode of it. I was doing research. Well, actually, no. Okay. I'm going to do this very quickly because I also don't want to let
this is fun because they will know by now whether or not you were able to make an episode out of this.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah, shit. Okay. Well, so then I could...
No, it'll be fun.
Oh, okay.
Take us into your process.
Long story short, so I told you all about it before. I have a TikTok, but I actually never, like, look at TikToks. But just the other day, I was like, let me see some TikTok. And normally, my algorithms are so specific. Like, I am... Man, I'm sorry. I have a lot of tangents. Me and Aaron are still undecided on whether or not I'll have a child. But I was like, do you ban any words from your Instagram algorithm? And he was like, no, do you? And I opened it and it was just mother, children, kid. It was like everything having birth. And he was like, what? And I was like, that's up to me. Anyway, so that was a weird moment. Anyway. My algorithm is pretty tight because of that. Because I will ban words constantly. I will ban people constantly. I just want to see snacks and Korean beauty.
Yeah. But
for some reason, in the middle
you have to put in those I don't want to sees so that you get to see what you want to see. Otherwise, yeah, it's just like looking at your age and your gender.
Yeah.
And going, this is what she wants because she's...
Because I'm
of birthing years.
Or yeah. I'm in the.
And then one day you turn a certain age and they just start showing you like ointments and retirement home.
Yeah, I mean adult Pampers. Wait, they're not called Pampers. They're called diapers for adults. I'm sorry. That's the word Pampers. Anyway, sorry. My point was
they're called diapers for kids too, just so.
Oh yeah, but it sounds weird. Anyway, I got a video.
I like that they're called Depends.
Go ahead. Yeah. I got something that I assume it was AI generated. It was like an image of, it looked like a mall, but there was water all over the floor and there were water slides in it and everything was pastel and it was really creepy. It looked like an abandoned mall. There was echoes of children screaming in the background. It was one of those really weird images that I don't know. It was like, what's that word? Uncanny. And like, it kind of like made you feel like, oh, I feel like I've seen this image before. Whatever. But I didn't like overthink it. But then I read the caption and it was like, were you a gate child? Do you have a mole on your left arm? And I was like, what's a gate child? And then I looked it up and it's gifted and talented or something.
That's the program
I used to be in. And I was like, what is happening with this program I used to be in? And I'll tell you more on the episode that'll actually come before this episode. But anyway, my point is I unlocked something really weird on TikTok. I don't know how it slipped into my algorithm. And then I ended up watching a whole bunch of video, which now my algorithm's all fucked.
So
I kept watching. Yeah. But I kept watching videos of it all night, but they got scarier and scarier. And then I had to run into bed and I wouldn't let myself pee in the middle of the night as I normally do because I got so scared. I got so scared looking at liminal spaces and something called back rooms and something called endless mall.
I haven't heard of endless room, or I'm sorry, I haven't heard of, yeah, was back it endless mall?
Yeah, endless mall.
I haven't heard of that, but I have heard of the other two.
Oh God. Oh, so horrifying. So anyway, how are you?
It is kind of, it's funny in a sort of ha-ha way that you would be afraid to go into a bathroom in your own home.
Yeah, I know. I literally ran into the bed like I would like when I was a child. And then I like put my hand and held my husband's arm as I slept. And I was like scared like a child. But yeah, anyway, my point is that was the jumping off point was that there's a conspiracy theory involving gate children that somehow is linked to liminal spaces and back rooms, which hopefully I have enough to tell you about, but I already did.
Ooh. Now I wonder, maybe I'll save it for your episode.
Okay.
I don't really have anything to report about myself except that people are pissing me off at work. That's pretty much the short of it.
Should we announce that? Aren't we not going to do it for a while?
Well, we're gonna have an episode in the last week of May. But everybody, my mom's getting her other knee done. So if you remember back at Thanksgiving, Christmas time, gonna happen again. So maybe we'll put out like a Patreon exclusive type episode to the public. But for the most part, you know, we'll be taking June off. But today we're doing an episode about updates, and I don't know how I stumbled upon this while I was doing updates, because we have, believe it or not, never done a show about this. But I ended up, yeah, I think that's what it is. I ended up going to really mainstream news sources for updates. So I spent some time at USA Today, and I discovered an article from April 22nd. A protest at a Utah middle school prompted district officials to address rumors of alleged biting and licking initiated by furries, according to reports from multiple outlets.
Wait, who protested? Adults or children?
The kids. The kids walked out of school and said, this is messed up.
Wait. The kids walked out because furries are biting and licking them?
Because kids are coming to school dressed as furries, and they're biting and licking their classmates without consent.
Walk into school as furries.
Yes, because probably because the school district doesn't want to get sued.
What in the
for
fuck?
For discrimination.
Man, I hate that I'm saying this because I found school to be a prison and I hate authority and I hate everything, but then they should just have uniforms.
So a change.org petition was created I guess we'll say a week before this article.
So that gives a bad name to furries because I know plenty of...
Right.
Not personally, but I mean, furries are just like a lifestyle choice. That doesn't mean you're a fucking like pervo. You could just live your life and not...
Well, that's I think you can... Yeah, I think you can bite... Furry. You can bite a classmate too without being a pervo, but...
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I think that's
not okay.
Yeah, and I think it like... It dips into that area where people are like, I don't want men in my bathroom, so I don't like trans women. And it's like, nobody wants to see your hoo-ha in the bathroom.
Yeah.
But the petition collected over 2,700 signatures between Sunday and Monday. And all that they're doing is asking that the school actually enforce their dress code policy, which is jewelry, accessories, tattoos, hair, facial hair, and other elements of a student's appearance that draw undue attention, distract, disrupt, or otherwise interfere with the learning atmosphere at the school or school activities and events, or that create a health, safety, or welfare issue are prohibited.
Yeah, that is also too vague in and of itself. Just have a fucking uniform. That's a slippery, that's not good enough.
Yeah. And if we can go back 1 minute, you didn't have a reason to pay attention to this when I started, but did you hear that I said a protest at a Utah middle school?
I did, and I was still wondering whether, I'm still confused. The children are the ones that are upset, or are the parents too?
I mean, I'm sure the parents are too, but, and I'm sure the parents helped organize the students walking out. But, yeah, kind of crazy.
This is all wild, but also, like, why are children in charge?
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like they're fully in charge now, and I hate it.
Shut up. They're going to shut down our podcast.
This is partially why I don't know if I want children, because I feel like they're going to become my boss, because society in this country has somehow made it that way.
But when I was dating Heather, who had kids who were in, I guess, I don't really know what the ages of middle school are. That's above elementary.
You're like...
up to eighth?
Yeah, so you're like between like probably... like, you're at least 13 and... like maybe 12 to 15 or something.
Yeah. But this was younger, and one of her daughter's classmates identified as a furry. And I was like, I don't know if the kid knows what that means. Like, and one of her kids too was like... I'm bisexual, and I'm like, they're I don't know if you know what that means. No, this was like a different situation,
okay.
But it's like.
She's a furry and I'm bisexual. I thought you were saying like, okay.
But just like, I don't know. Just this idea of, why don't you just be a kid? But we do actually, you know what? Now I know. I remember why I ran into this article. We'll cover it today. So, we have some topics today. I think we have 7. Yeah, we have 7, and we're going to do updates on them, and we're going to use this little wheel to decide what order we go in. Isn't that fun?
Cool. Taco the Collie? Oh, Toco. We did an episode on IHOP?
Kind of.
And Death Lemonade? I don't know what any of this is.
You did Death Lemonade.
I don't even know what that means.
Let's find out. Hey! We're starting with Death Lemonade.
Oh, okay, cool, because I don't know what it is.
Okay, Marissa, you do know what Death Lemonade is, because you did a whole episode on it. It's the super caffeinated lemonade that was at Panera Bread.
Yes.
So, a little update to that story is that a newly proposed New Jersey bill, the Sarah Katz Caffeine Safety Act, would require chains like Panera to disclose on menus and drive-through kiosks if a product contains 150 milligrams or more of caffeine. It would require energy drink manufacturers to clearly disclose the amount of caffeine on labels and push federal agencies to better study the effects of caffeine on certain communities, including adolescents and pregnant people.
That is a 100% like sensible... totally, like, yeah. I co-sign that. Yes. No, if anyone pushes back against that, they're evil.
Can't we just put another line on the, like, nutrition facts?
Yeah, like, if that hurts no one, that makes a lot of sense. So, cool.
It's simple. There's going to be a lot of this, guys. I cut out who said this, but it's the guy behind the bill.
Okay.
It's simple. We want every consumer to know what they're drinking. These changes will ensure that everyone, no matter how old, young, can walk into a store and order off of a menu and know with confidence how much caffeine is in their drink. In January 2024, Panera removed the drinks from the self-service section. In May 2024, the fast casual chain removed Charged Lemonade products from all of the menus nationwide. It was said at the time that it was part of a greater menu transformation. The chain has not admitted any wrongdoing in any of the suits.
Oh, great.
And previously said that it felt the two wrongful death lawsuits were without merit.
I just want to say that I can't get past the fact that you basically said, like, there hasn't been much research. Maybe I'm misunderstanding, but, like, there hasn't been much research and people don't really understand the effects of caffeine on pregnant people. And I'm kind of shocked that there isn't more research on that because, like, there's so many, like, rules in place about that. So I thought people knew.
Yeah.
And going off of, like, information. And also, when I was go ahead.
I would think that your doctor would say, like, avoid caffeine. Like, if you're pregnant, avoid caffeine. And then if you're like, avoiding caffeine, that means I can have 150 milligrams at once a week. No, that's not what that means.
When I was younger, I used to hear that pregnant women couldn't have any caffeine. But now all my pregnant friends are saying they're allowed to have, like, 8 ounces a day. So I just, like, I hope someone knows.
See, but that's another one, because 8 ounces of caffeine, right, is not 8 ounces of caffeine. It's 8 ounces of a beverage that contains caffeine. So how much, if I put a shitload of caffeine into that 8 ounces?
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, so very strange. But, again, I think if you're talking about, like, coffee or soda or something like that, then you could say, like, 8 ounces, but maybe avoid the energy drinks or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Just 8 ounces of Red Bull if you're pregnant.
Yeah. So do you remember covering that now?
Yes, I do. I actually thought whatever it was literally called Death Lemonade, which, yeah, okay.
Yeah. That was what we called the episode.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. So that's one down. 6 to go. Let's see what comes next. Publishers Clearing House.
Mm.
This isn't that terribly interesting, but I thought it was worth mentioning. Since I was scrolling back, trying to find information about these. By the way, I do feel like I need to tell you, if I didn't say it already, that was from USA Today on April 3rd of this year. So I'm trying to find really recent updates. But one of them is going to be a little bit further back. So, Publishers Clearing House, according to Reuters, this is from April of 2025. Publishers Clearing House, which I did an episode on once, the sweepstakes company known for showing up on prize winners' doorsteps with oversized checks, filed for bankruptcy protection in New York on Wednesday. The company will use the bankruptcy to shed its legacy direct mail catalog marketing and magazine subscription business so that they can strengthen the digital advertising and online gaming business.
I'm sorry, people need to allow you to file for bankruptcy just so you could get rid of something?
Well, it's going to use bankruptcy to explore the sale of its assets or find a business partner that's willing to fund long-term business plans for its digital business.
Got it.
The Publishers Clearinghouse filed for bankruptcy in Manhattan. They entered bankruptcy with about $500,000 in cash and about $40 million in debts to, to employees, vendors, service providers, and landlords after a years-long decline in its legacy direct mailing business. Now, if you might remember from that episode, they sort of pivoted to online, basically like online games where you can like earn credits and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then sort of turn them into money. So I guess they're capitalizing on some of that stuff, but the company paid $18.5 million in 2023 to settle a U.S. FTC, Federal Trade Commission, to settle allegations that it misled consumers about its contests. The FTC alleged that the company manipulated customers into believing that they had to make a purchase to win, or that they would have a better chance of winning games that were purchased as free to win. Again, if they bought a subscription or whatever it might be.
So but who was that?
I remember at the end of every one of the commercials, like, no purchase necessary, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So What's interesting about this is that they're filing for bankruptcy, and this week, as well as every other week, they still plan to surprise somebody at their house with a big oversized $10,000 a week sweepstakes check. Like, you know, each week, no, they give away $10,000.
No, I don't care about these people.
It'd be kind of funny, though, if they started to do that with their employees. Like,
oh, yeah, I mean, I care about
the
employees.
We owe you money. You're our winner this week.
Like, just fucking pay your employees and then just, like, let it go.
Yeah.
Fuck this country.
I don't know if I have this one on the list, but let's see what we got next. Okay, this is a short one about Lil Nas X, and I might have to wedge another one in there because I forgot to put it on the list.
Is it about his Bell's palsy?
Lil Nas X appears to have regained some. Now, Lil Nas X, guys, was our most popular episode of all time, which is why we have to address him in some way on this updates episode. So it says, Rolling Stone reports that he appears to have regained some feeling and control over his face after being hospitalized with a mysterious case of partial facial paralysis. He is not saying that it's Bell's palsy.
Okay.
In an update shared on Instagram stories on Tuesday, April 16th, a cheery-looking Nas filmed himself chewing a piece of gum for medicinal purposes. "I have been chewing a lot so that I can get this muscle stronger," he said, pointing to his mouth. And then he added, "It's much better."
Aww.
Now, I gotta wonder if this is a Rolling Stone typo or if they were just dicks and they copied a Lil Nas X typo. But this says, "It's much butter."
Oh, God, in the Rolling Stone article? That's too legit. That's like a New York Times saying that. Like, I understand. Typos happen, but you're too, no. Yeah. You're too overguarded to
and
let
don't
that
you put
go.
A sick after it if you know it's misspelled?
Yeah.
Right. Well, Nas noted that his left eye still needs to, quote-unquote, play catch-up, he seemed confident about his improvement overall. "I can give a genuine smile, so that's good." Lil Nas X revealed his condition earlier in the week, posting a video from a hospital bed after he sought out medical attention. The rapper has yet to reveal what caused the incident. In the original video, shared to 10 million followers, Lil Nas X kept a positive attitude about the ordeal, joking and demonstrating how half of his face had become immobile. "I can't even laugh right, bro," he said, while showing a lopsided smile. He showed more of his paralysis in his Instagram story. As his night progressed, he requested of his fans, "Stop being sad for me. Shake your ass for me instead."
That's cool.
Another sort of celebrity thing that I wanted to talk about, that I forgot to put on the list here, is Julia Wandel, Wandelt or Wendell. Now, this is coming from February of 2025. The Guardian reports that Wendell has been charged with stalking four members of the McCann family. Now, this is the woman who came online on Instagram and was like, "Hey, you know what? I think I am the adult version of that girl who was stolen, Madeline McCann."
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
So now she's been charged with stalking the McCann family. The parents, Jerry and Kate, and the twin siblings, Sean and Amelie.
Let these people go, man.
Yeah, throughout the duration of 2024 and 2025. She's alleged to have paid unwanted and unsolicited visits to their home twice in May and December last year. When we did that episode, we really discovered that there was somebody else who was more of a villain. And I'm kind of pissed right now that I didn't look that woman up. But that was the woman who really, like, supported her and sort of, like, snuck her out of Poland to America so that she could. But here's the thing. DNA test. There was a DNA test that the police reported on that said that she is 100% Polish. But then she shared a DNA test that said that she is half English, half Irish. And so nobody knows what the hell is going on. They just know that she is not Madeline McCann.
Yeah, okay.
In May of this year, German police alleged that they discovered disturbing images and writings on a hard drive at Madeline McCann's, I guess we'll say, abductor. suspect's house. Christian Bruckner is his name. They did a search in 2016. An investigative report at The Sun says that authorities have continued searching his property for clues, I guess after 2016. And one of the things they dug up was his dead dog. And underneath the dead dog was a wallet that contained 6 USB sticks and 2 memory cards. One hard drive was described by police as deeply concerning, according to the Times of London. Bruckner is currently serving a 7-year sentence in Germany, and they have...
Wait, 7 years for what?
Raping other people.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he, they have compelling evidence that ties him to the disappearance, but they don't have enough, they feel they don't have enough to convict him, so they have not charged him.
Okay.
Which is shitty for them.
Yeah.
I think I have another one that's kind of sad, but I don't remember. So anyway, maybe those were the only two.
Okay.
What's coming up next? Mobile game ads. Marissa, have you been seeing a lot more mobile game ads?
Oof, I actually feel like I saw a really weird one recently, but I can't remember to tell you what it was. But yes,
it was probably, my guess would be that it was the one with Courtney Cox and Lisa Kudrow.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, they're doing Royal Kingdom ads.
Oh, God, they still baffle me, all of them.
One source suggested that LeBron James could have earned up to $4 million for his role in an ad campaign for Royal Kingdom. Another more conservative estimate said that he probably just banked $1.5 million for what they estimated to be a 4 to 5 hour shoot.
Still, well, Royal Kingdom's such a bad looking game when I've seen like gameplay, so I don't even understand how they have all this money.
Yeah. Jimmy Fallon's is horrible. Jimmy Fallon's Royal Kingdom ad makes me want to kill myself.
Okay.
Shakira, as well, has an ad, and those two were estimated to have been paid at least $1 million each for their appearances, while Kaley Cuoco and Jonathan Galecki from the Big Bang Theory will have probably split $1 million.
Maybe Shakira is the one that upset me.
Yeah. Chris Hemsworth could have been paid up to $2 million for his role in Supercell's Squad Busters launch ad. Now, these are this is basically gaming people going out to celebrity people and saying, you know, based on so-and-so's regular rate, what would they have been paid to do this commercial? So these are, of course, estimates, but.
Yeah.
The other people who were in the ad, which includes Will Arnett, Christina Ricci, Auli Cravallo, and Ken Jeong, are all likely to have been paid around half or even maybe a third of Chris Hemsworth's fee of $2 million.
Christina Ricci, come on.
Yeah.
Ugh.
They also spent, Scopely, I think the gaming, the company behind the Monopoly Go game,
what?
This commercial bugs me because I feel like it moves so much that I don't quite recognize the celebrities in it. And I had no idea. But Will Ferrell lent his voice to play Mr. Monopoly.
Okay.
Jason Momoa is in it, along with Chris Pratt and Kiki Palmer.
Okay.
They all appeared in person, and the special effects were sort of added after the fact. Will Ferrell is likely to have been paid up to $2 million, one source says, while Pratt, Momoa, and Palmer likely received about the same or slightly less for their in-person appearances.
Okay.
This is a stupid amount of money.
Yeah, it is.
I feel like you could feed a lot of people or, like, repave a road or something with...
Yeah.
One source also noted that huge money that Moon Active is paying people to promote Travel Town. They have Kylie Jenner, Christina Aguilera, and Millie Bobby Brown heavily promoting the game on TikTok.
Bobby Brown and Kylie Jenner make sense.
Yeah. If they make sense, then Christina Aguilera also makes sense.
I missed that one entirely.
These are a little different though, because I think they might be like promoting them in their feed, not necessarily like making commercials. These creatives are more likely to have cost less than the multi-million-dollar spends and, you know, everything on the ads that I mentioned before.
Even if they showed up in person, God, I mean, I know they're talented, but I hope Millie Bobby Brown and Kylie Jenner aren't worth $2 million in person.
Yeah. These estimates also just account for the celebrity's fee.
I'm sorry, also, did I just say kind of talented people? I was being overly polite. I'm sorry.
If you factor in production costs and the cost of media buying, you know, where you display the ads, and, you know, it seems like they're spending tens of millions of dollars on these ad campaigns, and we don't get it.
Yo, I play Best Fiends, which, as far as I know, only pays podcasters, which makes sense to me. And I have to see commercials for all these games, Pete is saying, and they're all insanely boring and simplistic, and I don't get it.
Yeah. Once I started seeing mobile game ad commercials on TV, I was like, you've crossed the line. The mobile game ads should stay on the mobile device. They should not be on my TV.
Yeah, that is actually what made me upset. I don't know if it was Shakira's or what, but I was streaming something and I saw them. And I was like, this is not high budget enough to be not on my phone.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Jimmy Fallon's is just, he's standing there talking to a camera and like pointing to the left or whatever. And they just have like different things popping up based on what he's saying. I don't know. I hate his, but I don't like him anyway. Prior to the ad campaign, Royal Kingdom was pulling around 80,000 downloads a day.
Wow.
Early app magic figures suggest that it's generating over 300,000 installs per day now, and that's fine, but the revenue is seeing only a modest rise.
Yeah, but I was going to say, these games are free. They have ads, but like I don't ever press on ads in my fucking mobile games. So
yeah,
I don't
only by accident.
Yeah, like how are they even making money?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I know there are in-game purchases, like if you run out of lives, but like, come on, how many people are going to be doing that?
My guess, now that I think about it, is they're probably just stealing your data and selling it.
Oh yeah, you're probably right.
Which seems to be pretty lucrative.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm.
All right, what's up next? We're back with Nick Cannon, everybody.
No. He did something. Didn't he like insure his balls?
Marissa covered a Nick Cannon. Marissa covered the fact that Nick Cannon has too many kids.
Yeah.
And yes, the 44-year-old father of 12 took out a pricey insurance policy on his testicles in 2024 for a cool $10 million.
When I heard that, which was on the local news while I was at the gym, I decided I hate him.
He opened up about the decision on the May 1st episode of the Tea Time with Raven and Miranda podcast, hosted by Raven Simone and Miranda somebody.
Oh, I wonder who Miranda who?
Oh, let me see. Can I click this? Oh, no, that's going to take me to the actual episode. It started off like, yo, this would be a good joke, but we really went through with it, the Masked Singer host explained. As for whether he's done having kids, Cannon hesitated when asked about future children by the hosts, Raven Simone and Miranda Mayday.
Oh, I don't know who that is. Okay.
You neither. I love the baby stage, he said. Baby to toddler. So fun. Because three-year-olds, those are the three-nagers. They think they know everything.
Bitch, you don't even stick around to raise any of your children. Nobody fucking cares about your opinion.
There was another recent article, where one of the mothers was saying he hasn't visited her daughter, in like a year and a half, so.
He's like pulling a total Elon Musk. You know how Elon Musk is trying to just have everyone give him a child, right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, so they're one and the same fucking assholes.
For all of that though, I am almost more disturbed by this one, because I don't think this is great, guys. Cannon said that he views his oldest kids, who are, I think, 14, Monroe and Moroccan, as peers.
Oh, God.
He's like, yeah, we just hang out, we play video games, we watch movies. It just happens to be I'm the one with the license.
You're an idiot, dude. What?
Grow the fuck up.
Wow. Why would he say that out loud?
However, Cannon shared that his preteens have nicknamed him Cringe Cannon.
Ugh, God.
All right. Regardless of how this goes, we're going to talk about IHOP next because I want to close on something good.
Yes, please. All you've made me think is how my indecision on children is becoming a lot more firm than I don't want one.
Okay, going back to IHOP. Now, I covered IHOP as one topic in a sort of potpourri episode. Mm-hmm. But just in case you ever wondered what happened to it, this was a story about, let me find his name, Dominic Broccoli. And I hope that you're supposed to say it like broccoli, but I'm going to say broccoli because that's how it's spelled.
Yeah, I like it.
This is a guy who owns a number of IHOP restaurants in the Bronx, and he wanted to expand to Fishkill, New York, to open an IHOP. He already owns a gas station on this land, and he wanted to open an IHOP right next to it. And then everybody started going nuts, and they were like, you can't do that here. This is a Civil War site. We need to preserve this site.
Oh, yeah, that sounds familiar.
People started digging up like Revolutionary War artifacts, and he was like, no, they're planting those artifacts and then they're pretending to dig them up, and it was just a bunch of like pissing back and forth.
Yeah, okay.
So this is from January of 2024, which I admit is like a year and a half ago, but a development that would incorporate a restaurant, hotel, retail shops, and historical exhibits in the form of an 18th century colonial village has been approved by the town of Fishkill's planning board. Yay!
Yay!
Planning board attorney Dominic Cordisco said, I have to say that I have been practicing land use law for 25 years. 25 years, and never in my entire practice have I come across a resolution that is 27 pages long, single-spaced. GLD3 LLC stakeholder Dominic Broccoli, who is from Pelham Manor, owns a number of IHOP restaurants in the Bronx and a gas station on the land adjacent to the Continental Commons site. That's what it's going to be called.
Okay.
I would like to thank everyone, Broccoli told the planning board. It's been 7.5 years. I just want to thank everyone for your patience. It's been a long grind, but it's over finally.
Wow. How
much spite this man must carry with him to drink out for 7.5 years.
Ay, ay, ay.
If you feel like it, you can go to continentalcommons.com and you can read their section called Know the Truth.
Are you team Broccoli or team the community?
I'm team burn the town down.
Okay.
I don't know. I feel like there is something to historical preservation, of course, but I also feel like there are things that are just not worth.
Mm-hmm.
There are hills that are just not worth dying on.
Okay.
The developer said that a groundbreaking ceremony and the beginning of construction will be announced in the coming months, and it will mark, quote, the beginning of an exciting chapter for Continental Commons and the community it serves. The developer already has been doing some work on the property, including cutting down trees. I'm sorry, I wanted to tell you, Marissa, this is from the West Fair Business Journal, and they have this sentence. The developer has already been doing some work on the property, including the cutting down of trees, which is just too cumbersome.
Yeah, they want to sound fancy.
however, and this is, remember guys, this is from January 2024. According to Google Maps, in November of 2024, that's still all that has happened.
Oh,
they cut down some trees and haven't done anything since.
I feel like this is never going to actually happen.
Yeah. Maybe they'll bury him under his IHOP. Which means we get to finish with Toko the Kali.
Don't know what this is at all.
Oh, you do.
Okay. Oh, wait, is that the man? Is that the man in the Kali thing?
Toko the Collie has, this is from May of this year. Toko the Collie has become a sensation, and now others can live just like him. The man who dons the ultra-realistic dog suit paid thousands for... Oh, this is a weird sentence, but basically, he paid for the suit, he wears it on the daily. He has now opened a zoo where other humans can also become animals.
Whoa!
With 72,000 subscribers on YouTube, who clearly are interested in becoming animals themselves, they're certainly not watching it like a car wreck.
Yeah.
Toko is a hit, as fans watch him perform tricks for treats, enjoy walks, and interact with other dogs. But now, he's taken it a step further. His new specialized zoo, Toko Toko Zoo, allows anyone to fulfill their desire to become a dog and aims to make people's dreams come true.
Bro, that doesn't make sense. Dogs aren't in a zoo. Why don't you just say, like...
What doesn't make sense is that there are other people out there who want to be a dog like you.
Well, yeah, okay.
Enough to start a business.
Yes. But...
This is a dark web experience.
If I overlook that, you should have made it like a, was not a farm, like a, I don't know, but
like
zoo.
A kennel?
Dog. Yeah, not even
Toko Toko kennel.
Like a conservation, I don't know. But zoo doesn't make sense, because then you become a dog and they put you behind bars. Like that doesn't, the zoo is not the right word. I know I'm fixating on the wrong part.
Although I will say that this is Japan. So maybe like there's something in translation that's not coming over.
Okay. Yeah. Cause that seems weird, but okay.
His new zoo provides customers the chance to wear one of the hyper realistic dog suits and live just like him in doggy cosplay sessions. So if you recall, his dog suit cost him $14,000. That's one of them.
Mm.
So it'll set you back $319 for a 180-minute experience and $234 for 120 minutes.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
Unfortunately, Toko didn't receive enough reservations for his May 4th opening date.
Aww.
But he has another one scheduled for July.
Okay.
If you want to spend 2 hours, of course, in July, sweating inside of a used dog suit.
Yeah, I hope that's laundered very well. I feel like that's something that could only happen in a country where people aren't so selfish like we are. Yeah. I feel like one session in the U.S., someone's pissing in it. Like immediately, they're pissing all over it on purpose.
Yeah. Now, remember how I said earlier, I think there's another sad one that I wanted to kind of like get in here?
Yeah.
Turns out I forgot to put that one on the list too.
Okay.
And I'm sorry about that, because this is not one that I wanted to end on.
Oh man, okay.
But we have a little update about conjugal visits from USA Today.
Oh, do tell. Wait, how is this going to be sad?
This is from March of 2025. Two women, 47-year-old Tanya Thomas and 62-year-old Stephanie Brinson, both were allegedly strangled to death during what the state prison system calls family visits, extended visits in apartment-like facilities at Mule Creek State Prison in Northern California.
Oh, man.
Thomas's domestic partner, Anthony Curry, 48, was charged with the murder and accused of strangling her in July of 2024. So we're finding out about this year, but this happened last year.
Why are we only finding out about this now?
I think it's just like, the other one was in November, and I don't know if they have to come right out and say things right away. I mean, I feel like you have to report a murder.
Yeah, okay.
So Stephanie Brinson also goes by Stephanie Dowles, and she has a husband, 54-year-old David Brinson. He has not been charged in her death, but he is a suspect murdering her in November of last year. He is already serving a life sentence for murder. And Anthony Curry is also serving a life sentence for attempted second degree murder. So anyway, it's the responsible thing to do when you have two tragedies that have occurred in the same institution in the same program within a very short amount of time. It is to take a look at whether or not the protocol, policies, and procedures are adequate, Amador County District Attorney Todd Reeb said to USA Today in an interview. Only four states in America, in the U.S., allow family members of inmates to participate in some form of conjugal visit. The visits are called extended family visits in Connecticut and Washington.
Yeah.
The family reunion program in New York and family visits in California. In Connecticut, the visits must include an inmate's minor child and another adult in their immediate family to be there as well. So, what I struggle with here is that you don't just get a conjugal visit because you're in jail. You get a conjugal visit because you are behaving in jail.
Yeah.
You're meeting a certain standard. I think it was like in Connecticut, let's just say it was like 14,000 prisoners, only 70 met the criteria to actually have these visits.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So something's going wrong if the people who killed other people are getting these visits, right?
Yeah. But also, and I don't expect you to have the answer, but like, is there a guard right by you when this is happening? Like, I want to know the logistics of these visits. Cause how the fuck is there enough time to strangle someone?
Yeah, it says in apartment-like facilities. So my guess would be almost kind of like maybe like three or four apartments and people can stay there. Like you can stay there with your family, but it's on the grounds and you can't just like walk out and go out to dinner or like get something from the store. You know what I mean? Like you're still essentially in jail, but you have this more relaxed atmosphere. And like, look, I've been in certain relationships where I think if I was somebody who was inclined to be in prison for second degree murder, I think my spouse might be one of the people I might murder. Because some people really know how to push your buttons.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be on purpose, guys. It would be a reaction.
Yeah. I understand. I feel like a guard should be like out the door.
Like, yeah, I agree.
I don't feel like there should ever, no matter how good you are, you're in jail. And I believe, like, in second chances, I feel like there's a lot of people wrongly incarcerated. So I'm not like, fuck people in jail. But I'm just like, if you're in jail, I don't think you should ever have so much freedom that there's not someone within earshot if you try to kill someone.
Yeah, or like, maybe you have cameras in the apartment for all except, like, the bedroom and the bathroom or something like that. Like somebody, you need to know that somebody's keeping an eye on you.
Yeah.
Enough that you can't strangle someone to death.
It takes a bit to strangle someone.
Yeah.
If the show You has told me anything, that is not immediate.
And so Marissa, that concludes our episode here. I don't know how many it was. Maybe it was 9 instead of 7.
Something like that.
But yeah, those are some updates. Listeners, if you want updates or you want us to like revisit an old topic, let us know in 570-PODWAD1 or...
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait. What? I don't know our email. I never know our email. I'm supposed to do the phone. Is that what you were queuing up?
Y'allheardpod@gmail.com.
Sorry, because I would have said shout at y'all heard. So yeah, I'm sorry. You can't reverse the sequence because I only know our phone number.
Plugs.
I'm sorry. Wait, we didn't do plugs.
Yeah, do you want to plug something?
Oh sure. Speaking of updates, our trusty Michael Stinson is a father now, and his wife Nicole is a mother, so happy Mother's Day to Nicole.
She had just in time.
Yeah, exactly. Just in time for this episode.
Now give me a gift. That's what she's saying. She's like, now it's my right to celebrate this day.
Oh, I'm saying, go tell her happy Mother's Day when we get off this podcast. But yeah, so congratulations to you two. But as for a plug, I don't know why. I'm like really into Conan O'Brien lately, which is such a dumb thing to say. He's been around forever. But like, and I've watched.
And he's not doing anything new, right? Like, he doesn't still do a show.
Oh, well, I was gonna say, well, I don't think he does a talk show, but he, I was gonna say the new season of Conan O'Brien Must Go just started. Okay. That's his travel show. So I will plug that because I find his travel shows very pleasant. And he did also, there is a special, he just won the Mark Twain Award for Comedy, in the new, you know, Trump ruled Kennedy Center. So that was interesting to watch also. but yeah, again, there's nothing new about Conan O'Brien, but I am plugging that, season two of his travel show is out. And, I didn't learn this through his show, but someone mentioned it to me. I am trying to go to Europe soon. And my husband only likes to go places where they speak Spanish. And I'm just like, no, we can't.
Spain's in Europe.
So yeah, you want to go to Spain, but I don't want to go to Spain. And thankfully, someone brought to my attention that, there's a lot of protests in Spain and they don't like the tourism. So a lot of like tourist buses are getting ambushed by protesters with water guns. So I don't have to go to Spain now. I have nothing against Spain. Without going into details, I don't know if all Puerto Ricans or just my family is a little touchy and thinks that Spanish people think they're better than Puerto Ricans, and my mother has conditioned me to not want to go to Spain. I'll leave it at that. Okay, how are you, Pete?
I like this podcast called Ooh Spooky, and it's... I love it because it's so stupid.
Okay.
But it's three comedians who are in Australia. So if you don't like an Australian accent, that's going to be a turnoff for you. It took me a little while to get into it.
I love an Australian accent.
And basically, they just have books, and they take out these books, and they open them up, and it's like, say it's like 100 cryptids of America, and they just read about the one cryptid. And then they make jokes for a little while, and then they take another book, and they do like Cryptids of China. And they do, you know, and it's just a funny, stupid show. So,
do they have sponsors?
No.
Okay, because I was going to say, sometimes I see shows that have sponsors, and I'm like, we're not cutting edge, but they have sponsors? No offense to that show, but when you just explain it to me, I'm like, they better not have sponsors.
However, when it comes to sponsoring our show... According to Graftreon.com, we are down 162 slots on Patreons, on the podcasts of Patreon.
Oh,
so we are currently at 7,743.
Why would you look at that? Why? Don't tell me these things. I don't want to know.
That's the rank out of podcasts. I don't know how many podcasts there are, Marissa. There could be a million, and if that's the case, then we're doing great.
Yeah, don't look. I don't want to know. I never want to know.
There is a live play D&D show that is right above us.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
And I don't like that. And then there's another one that's above that called the Fisheries Podcast. And basically their thing is they talk about fishes. Fishes? They talk about fish. But... if you have questions about your fish at home, you can send it in and they'll give you advice on how to help your fish. So I feel like that's a little bit more noble than the D&D one. And I guess more noble than us too, but
yeah, we just,
all of our listeners are too smart to ask us for advice.
Yeah.
Like these two people are psychotic.
Yeah, pretty much. yeah, our listeners are too smart. We don't deserve them. I think it's just our podcast isn't specific enough. When people ask me what my podcast is about, I say, I don't know.
Take a nap.
Leave me alone. Oh, by the way, you can always DM me, Iris Vandal, if you have any desire to. Thank you for listening, and talk to you soon.
We'll see you maybe in July or something.
Okay, bye.
If Marissa's not on vacation. In Spain.
Dad, please.
Bye.